So our desire that God put in our hearts is to know him in a real, personal, and deeper way. And that's a good, good thing to live in. Amen? Amen. Yeah, thank you, praise and worship team. Thank you for that this morning. Wherever you are in your walk with God, there's always room to go a little bit deeper. You'll never exhaust God. Let's dismiss our young people in this time of worship. Have a blessed time in Children's Church. Discovering your God. Amen. There's a sweet, sweet presence in the room today, and I appreciate it. Just if you will, help me for a moment as I look out on different people, the faces this morning. If you weren't here last week, can I just see a show of hands? If you weren't here, just slip your hand up for me. A few, right? A few of you were not here? Okay. That's what I thought. All right, so as we move into the Word of God this morning, let me quickly bring you up to speed here on what we opened last week. We began looking in the Word of God at three vital aspects of our walk with God and our relationship with God that Paul the Apostle pointed out to us. And I'm going to identify them right off the bat this morning. And those are grace, love, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, or the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Those three aspects. And we're going to look into that over the course of time. And I'm going to tease it out and dive into each one of those areas with you. And I'm believing and praying that God is going to open that to us with the purpose of just what we were worshiping about, the purpose of knowing him. For I don't know about you where your walk is right now, but I'm not content where I am. I want to go a little deeper. I want to go a little higher in God. The realms of God, you know, he's unsearchable. So as you get a little bit deeper in him, there's always more. Or if you go a little bit higher with him, there's always higher heights. And so if he sees that your heart is pressing in like that, he's going to meet you. He's going to meet you, and he's going to open and manifest more of himself to you. And so today I want to continue in this mind, and I want to discover some truth with you that will help us as we move forward to know him more. Amen? So I'm going to move into this. Let's title this message for the recording upstairs. I hope we're recording today, and for YouTube as well. The title of this is Growing in Grace with Humility. Growing in Grace with Humility. So if you will, open your Bibles, 2 Corinthians 13, the last verse there. This is our text. This is what we opened last week, and we're going to get in there and move from it this morning. 2 Corinthians 13, and that'll be verse 14. As you're getting there, you're going to find that this is Paul the Apostle at the end of 2 Corinthians, and he identifies these three aspects of our relationship with God. And to me, if Paul identifies them as important priorities, then I think we ought to pay attention. Paul was probably the greatest of all the apostles, but he, of course, would tell you that he's the least of them. because before he was Paul, he was Saul, and he persecuted the church of God. And so it's by the grace of God that Paul would become the minister that he became and give so much to the church. We're going to get into his life a little bit in the weeks ahead of us. He's probably one of the greatest examples of living in the grace of God and growing in the grace of God that's in the Word. So 2 Corinthians 13:14, this is the verse. It says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." So it identifies the three things there: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, that's the Father, and also the communion or the fellowship of the Holy Ghost or the Spirit of God. Those three areas. And last week I spent a little time in this, just, I won't go there today, but just to remind you that the Godhead is made up of God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All three equally God, but all in one. Yes, there's your doctrine of the Trinity, if you will. And so I covered that last week. I don't want to spend time there today, but you're going to see that we're going to take this apart a little bit. And today I want to focus in on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ out of those three areas. So if you will, turn with me to the Gospel of John. I'm going to try and open this a little bit this morning. John, the first chapter. I'm going to read through some verses here, and then I'm going to camp out in a few places. But I want to back up to the very first verse so that we get some truth laid down before we open this. So John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And John is speaking here, of course, of Jesus Christ himself, the Word of God he's identified as. It says, "The same in the beginning with God. In the beginning with God, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Now, John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light." He's talking about Jesus Christ, the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. "And Jesus, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But," verse 12, "as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Born of God, born of the Spirit, born from above. Verse 14, "And Jesus, the Word, was made flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father," look at this, "full of grace and truth." Say that with me this morning: full of grace and truth. Talking about Jesus Christ himself, he was full of grace and truth. "And so John bare witness of him, and he cried, saying, This was he whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. And here he's talking about Jesus in his fullness, that we've all received of him grace for grace. One more verse and we'll open it. For the law that was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, to focus in on the grace of Jesus Christ today, you see a couple of things pointed out here in these verses. That he's identified as being full of grace and full of truth. He's identified that in his fullness, or maybe another word, in his abundance. You see, Jesus had the fullness of the Spirit as well. But in the fullness of grace, in the abundance of grace that he had, all of us receive from that. His grace to us, grace for grace. I want you to catch that this morning, that it was out of his grace, out of the grace that came to us, and we received the grace for grace. And he says it again that, yeah, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, stay there for a minute. I want to read something to you from the Psalms, and it's all over the book, but I want you to hear this about the essence of God, the fullness of God. In Psalm 86, it says this. This was David. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and in truth. And you'll find the same identification of those things if you went back and looked at Moses' day, when Moses went to God the second time after he broke the first tablets. When he went back the second time and God presented himself to Moses, you'll find the same thing there, that God identifies himself as being a gracious God, a God that's full of compassion, a God that's merciful and abounding in truth. You understand? So it's not a one verse thing that I'm pulling out. I'm trying to identify with you quickly that God himself, from the beginning and to the end, this is who he is. This is part of the essence of God. Some people would call it part of his divine nature. Do you understand? So when we approach trying to know him more, I said to those of you that were here last week, you can't go after the fullness of God all in one shot, because you just can't handle it. You can't identify all of what, you know, he is and all of who he is. So we pull it apart at times to understand him more and more. And so today I'm pointing, you know, our finger here and the mind of the Spirit on the grace of God. And so in Jesus' life, we're finding the fullness of grace. Now let me tell you, just to get us all on the same page, all on the same mind, about grace. Grace is the goodness of God. It's his loving kindness. And that's how we came to Christ. It was by his grace, by his loving kindness, by his goodness that he drew us in. Romans tells us that it's by the goodness of God, right? That we repent and come to know him, right? It's his goodness. He didn't bring the law to us and demand that we had to know him and we had to come into relationship with him. No, it was the goodness of God that causes us to repent. And so this is where he starts in your life with him. But the grace of God doesn't stop there, of course. Once you come into relationship with him and know him like that, well, then we go on in our relationship with him and we're to grow in that area. And he then enables us or empowers us with the grace of God. That grace empowers us to live sanctified as His people. That grace empowers us to do what He's called us to do. See, we can't do the works of God in and of our own strength. Doesn't work. At some point, that falls short. At some point, you run out of your own strength. At some point, you need to lean into Him and find the grace of God to move forward to do His will. Are you understanding me this morning? Grace. So this is part of His essence, part of His nature. And God is so good, He gives it to us. In Ephesians, it says that we've all been given a measure of the grace of God. That's where you start. Everybody gets a measure of the grace of God. We won't go there today, but maybe next week. So out of the fullness, out of the abundance of Jesus Christ, we've all received from Him. We're supplied with this measure of grace that comes from Him. I don't know, as I look back, how, you know, I got here apart from the grace of God. Thank you, Lord. But now I understand a little bit more about His goodness, about His grace. And if you think about it, there's a lot of grace in your life. There's a lot of spiritual blessing in your life. There's a lot of His goodness as you look into different aspects of your life. There's, you know, some people would call it favor. Well, I think, you know, that's been cheapened. So, you know, I've got the favor of God. You know, it's His unmerited favor. That's the grace of God. Well, yeah, okay, that's Christianese language, though. You know, everybody could say that, but I don't know how many people that say that really know and experience the grace of God in their lives. I'm trying to get a little bit deeper and a greater understanding of that today. So that favor, that gifting, those graces, that's from Jesus Christ to you. And He decides His own will. He's God. How to give that out and what we're to get. We all have different graces in our lives, and I'm grateful for that, because when I look at the body of Christ, there's a lot of different gifting, a lot of different graces, and I'm appreciative of that. I'm adding my piece to the whole today. I hope you're doing that as well. This grace that I'm talking about, it's unearned, and yes, it is unmerited. None of us deserve it. Come on, none of us could earn it. You can't buy the grace of God. You understand? It's out of His goodness. He gives it to us. It's a gift. It's a gift. But you have to receive the gift by faith. Everything that comes from God is done that way. You have to receive it by faith. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the grace of God in our lives today. Yeah, we receive it. We receive it from You. Thank you, Lord. Grace to Your people today. Thank you. Thank you. It's a spiritual blessing. And it didn't come cheap. It cost Him everything. That's why Paul could say, this grace that's been bestowed upon me, it's not going to be given to me in vain. In other words, I'm not going to waste the grace of God that has come to my life. Can you hear that today? We'll talk about Paul another day, but that's where he lived. He said, yeah, I recognize and I'm grateful for the grace of God. And what you gave me, it's not going to be wasted, Lord. It's not going to be in vain. No, rather he said, you know, he worked even more or harder than all the rest of them, but then yet it was by the grace of God, he said. Wise man, he caught himself. And so I'm looking at the grace of God with you this morning. I'm looking into the heart of Jesus Christ this morning. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 8, specifically looking at Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8. Grace for you today. Second Corinthians 8. And I'm going to use verse 9 for a minute here. This is Paul talking about the grace of God, about giving. But I want you to see this from the heart of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 8, 9, it says this: For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Jesus, who was so rich, Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he was so rich in God, yet for your sake, for you, see, you got to make it personal. For your sake, he became so poor, that you, in believing in him and receiving from him, out of his poverty, you could be rich in God. Do you see what he had to do? He was so high and so rich in the Godhead, and he had to lower himself and become so poor for your sake, for you and for me. Going to take you to Philippians 2, a familiar passage so you could see this. But this is what he's talking about here. Go to Philippians 2, please. We're going to see in Philippians 2 the heart of Jesus, the attitude of Christ. Boy, if the church could get the same attitude of Christ in our lives, oh my, we'd be some kind of people, and he would do some kind of thing in and through us. We got to get the mind of Christ here. Philippians 2, and I'm going to start at verse 5. It says, let or allow this mind to be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Speaking of Jesus now, he says, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's the God that gives you his grace. That's Jesus Christ, who was God and came down so low to become as a man, that would be obedient to his father's will, that he would go to a cross, a horrific death. Horrific. They beat him almost dead at the whipping post. They'd put those thorns, that crown of thorns in his head. They'd thrust help me. What did they thrust into his side? The spear. Yeah, thank you. The spear into his side, right? They'd spit on him. They'd pull his beard. Yeah, he went through all that to obey his father's will, to go into a borrowed grave, and then by the grace of God, the Father would accept that sacrifice and he would call him back up to glory where he is today at the right hand of the throne of God, praying for you. That God, yeah, him, he is the one that's giving you the grace that you need. What a God. It cost him everything, but it was for your sake. Beautiful. Beautiful. He humbled himself, became obedient, and God saw that and then exalted him. He had to go very, very low to get to that highly exalted place, where now the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus, it says he's above every other name. He's above it all. But it wasn't cheap. So I'm trying to emphasize to you today that the grace of God that comes to you for your life is not some cheap thing. No, not at all. It's very, very valuable. Very, very costly. It's a spiritual reality. It's real substance from God, real spiritual substance that we have to live in and out of to do his will in the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This whole attitude of Christ, where he would humble himself, can we simply call that humility? Can we use that word today? Is that all right? He humbled himself, and so you see the humility of Christ there. Well, that characteristic, that needs to be in the heart of each and every one of us. The humility before an awesome God. A reverence before an awesome God. To see him and to know him that, yeah, he is God and God alone, and we are his creation, we're his people, but we come under him humbly before our God. You understand? See, you can be bold in the faith. You can be bold as a lion in the faith, but that comes from knowing who you are in your humility before God. Then you can receive that kind of boldness from him. That's not something you get in and of your own strength. You go low to go high in the kingdom of God. That's his way. Are you with me? So humility is something that we need to embrace and we need to walk in it. And not only with our relationship with God, of course, but then one with another. And I'll get into that as we move forward over the weeks. But we need to come humbly to one another, preferring one another, appreciating one another. It's another place he says that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves, you know, than we ought to. He says in Romans, right, to think soberly, think rightly about your life, and recognize that the whole body of Christ, every person is valuable. Every person's faith matters. Every person has that measure of grace to give to the whole. And so your brother and your sister in Christ, you ought to honor. You ought to humble yourself. We are to be submitted one to another. I'll get there over the weeks. Somewhere along the course of Christianity, submission got a bad rap. People saw it somehow as a bad thing or a weak thing, and it's not at all. It's the wisdom of God that He's built that into His people and into His church. You see it right here in the life of Jesus Christ Himself. It's the greatest example or model that I could possibly give you. Some people have called this the kenosis passage, meaning the emptying of yourself. Christ emptied Himself and became as a man and did all that for us. Great humility in His life. I even think if you go on our website and you go to our core values, I think you'll find humility there as something that we embrace here, something that's important to us here at Harvest Christian Bible Church. You check it out. I think it's there. Turn with me for a moment to James. Go to James 4. Today, talking about growing in the grace of God with humility. Growing in the grace of God with humility. It's God's way. James 4, verse 6. But He gives more grace. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He gives more grace. Wherefore, He said, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Oh, isn't that sweet? God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. See, actually in Proverbs, it's one of the things that God identified that He hates. He hates pride. He hates pride in the heart of man. That's that very thing that got Lucifer tossed out of heaven. Pride. I. Me. God hates it. So, Pastor, He's a loving God. Yes, He is. And there's things that He hates. It's in the book. Wherefore, He says, God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Well, for me, I think it's wiser to humble yourself before God and receive His grace than it is to try to stay prideful in who you are and think who you are. You're all that in a bag of chips, right? And God is resisting you. That's a losing battle, folks. That's a losing battle right there. I don't want God resisting me, do you? No, far from it. So like Jesus that we just read in Philippians, it says He humbled Himself. I think it's wiser to do that than to be prideful and watch God humble you. Yeah. Let's take the wisdom that's found in the book and apply it to our lives. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Verse 7. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Well, hold on to that for a second there. Submit yourselves to God. See, bow low before your God. Get humble before your God. Come under your God. And look, He says, resist the devil. Well, I just said to you, what got him tossed out of heaven to begin with? It was pride. So if the devil comes to you yakking and lying and manipulating about what you ought to do and what you ought to say and how you ought to do this and that, resist him, because he's coming out of a place of pride. You don't want to give ear to that. So resist him and he'll flee. So you got to take care of your temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You got to take care of yourself. You're a spiritual being. So when the enemy runs his mouth, you know it's lies, because he's the father of all lies. Well, God says, submit to me, come unto me, get the grace of God, and resist him. Resist the enemy, and he'll flee. He'll run away. See, because when you realize who you are in God, and you take that stance by the grace of God, yeah, well, then you have authority to speak to the enemy, to resist the enemy, and he will flee because you're God's property. Draw nigh to God. Draw close to God. He'll draw close to you. If we would just do that, church, if we would just draw close to him in our worship, if we would draw close to him in the pages of the book, if we would draw close to him throughout our day, communing with the Spirit of God, if you draw close to him, he'll draw close to you. God's looking for you to take a step of faith. He's looking for you to step forward in faith and draw close. Do you see the order of that? Draw close to God first, and then he'll draw close to you. So if you want to grow in grace, take a step of faith. Draw close to him, and he'll meet you, and he'll draw close to you. Stay with me. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. In verse 10, he says this, then humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. There it is. What a great promise. I'm telling you, church, that's a key to our relationship with God. That humility is a key to our relationship with a loving, powerful, awesome God. But as you humble yourself, look at the promise that God gives you. He will lift you up. How many of you realize as you step in faith and humble yourself that God lifts you up? You could live there knowing God is lifting me up. That's his grace. That's his favor to you. That's his loving kindness to your life. When God lifts you up, let me tell you something. Ain't no devil in hell is going to take you down. When God lifts you up, no man can tear you down. When God lifts you up by the grace of God, you're in a great, great place in God. That's the wisdom that comes from the heart of James. Brother Jonas, I don't know if I could put my hand on it anymore. You ever heard of a cassette tape? You ever heard of a cassette? No, huh? Okay, a cassette came before the CD. Okay? And now everything's streaming and very few, you know, okay. So the cassette was a little cassette thing here. It had tape. You know it now. Okay. I had a cassette. I don't remember who it was, but the song was this. If I could sing, I'd sing it for you.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up.
When you sing the Word of God, you get the Father's attention. Stephen, you want to try it? You want to come? We'll do a duet? Oh, he sings better than me. He sings better. When you sing the Word of God before the Father, He loves that. There's a lot of, let me tell you this, Sister Joanne, there's a lot of Christian music out there. People singing all sorts of stuff. Some of it's good, some of it is not. You agree? But a psalmist will find the Word of God and they will sing it unto the Lord. They will minister unto the Lord. And they'll send His Word up in a song. And that gives glory to God. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God, He gets upon those songs. His Spirit gets on them. And when you listen or you're in a service and that's going on, God comes close. He comes close. And so I would encourage you, those of you that have that gifting, get a hold of the Word of God, just like David in the Psalms. And sing unto Him. He actually says in the Psalms, you could dig it out, but He says to sing with understanding. Sing with revelation. See, sing about the humility and the grace of God. And God will be all over that. So when you choose songs to praise God in this place, when you choose songs to worship God in this place, get a hold of His Word. Make sure His Word is part of what we're singing. And I'm not saying you don't do that, so don't hear that. But get a hold of those songs where we're singing His Word. God's going to come in and be in the midst of us when we do that. He loves that. So humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. One last place, I'll close. 2 Peter, the last verse. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. This morning, if you're really listening to this word about growing in grace with humility, you'll see that I used Paul the Apostle. I used John the Apostle. I used David. I used James. And now I'm using Peter. You understand? Through the book. Those are the heavy hitters, if you will. Those are people that really knew God and walked with God. And God saw their faithfulness and the Spirit of God came upon them and they wrote the book for us. So when this truth comes to you, that's where it's coming from. The great apostles, disciples of Jesus Christ. It's not a light thing. So let me close with the very Word of God today. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. It's the last verse that's recorded from Peter. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We're to grow in the grace of God. We're to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. That means knowing Him. not knowing facts about him, but actually stepping into the relationship and knowing him, hearing his voice, knowing the Spirit of God, having discernment in the world. You got to grow in the grace of God. And I'm telling you today that one of the keys in doing that is what we've been talking about today, and that's the humility that's found in Jesus Christ. That ought to be found in us as well. So my prayer for you is that as you humble yourself, as you take this word to prayer, as you take it in your life today, as you humble yourself, that God will lift you up and that you will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and that you will know him even more. Amen. Praise and worship team, why don't you come and close this up? Brother Jonas, find the song of the Lord this morning. And won't you all, if you can, stand on your feet and worship God as we close out together. Grace of God. Thank you, Lord. As our young people come back, yeah, come on back in. Be with us as we worship God, and we thank him for the grace of God in our lives. Hallelujah.
So I will call.
call upon the name of Jesus, there's grace for you. There's grace for you to move through that. And you'll recall it was Peter that walked on the water when the Lord called him to himself. So if God's really true and he's calling you deeper, listen, you're not going to drown. He's not going to let you fall. You understand? No, but press in. Press into him. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Father, today as we close out, we honor you. We magnify you. We worship and adore you. For you are the only true and wise God. And you're a great, great God. And we are yours and you are ours. Thank you for the grace of God in your people's lives. Lord, let us grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ as we move forward. That, Lord, we would be all that you've called us to be, and that we would do all that is before us in the will of God. I thank you today, I bless you, and I give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.